Welcome to Unmuzzled Chat. I just feel giggly today. I feel like laughing. You know, this is a big blessing for me. I'm having some breakthrough. I feel Lyme disease. We're having some awesome breakthroughs, but it's bigger than even Lyme disease. And that's why I want to sound the bullhorn on how important it is we all up the quality of our, well, we all up our health to up the quality of life. And that is a battle we all should be engaged in. Very worthwhile. Well, I'm psyched about today. And let's go. Let's go, Brandon. Let's freaking go. I want to rip the lid off of some things here regarding the lies, the deceit, the manipulation, the gaslighting, all designed solely to confuse, divide, control, steal our freaking freedoms, folks. I want this episode to be all we need to know. Exposing evil and all the corruption and war tactics. Not all the war tactics, but just enough of the tactics they're using to just keep us in that freaking box. The truth will set us free. Let's break out of this box. And it's wild how they've overextended their hand in this information age. And they're losing, their control is crumbling. That's why they're fighting so hard right now to keep people out of the know. You out of the know. It's insane how much censorship we've even faced since kicking off this platform. And it seems as though it's getting ramped up. They're disappearing, folks. They're locking up actual journalists. They're doing everything they can, sending their FBI hounds even to, women TikTokers' homes and men, other men exposing these same things. We're not to fear them. Heck, like I was touching on the other day, when you have spiritual breakthrough and kind of just mature growth, like, it's interesting how things shift. You no longer fear mortal death. I mean, you'll fight tooth and nail for your mortal life, right? But there's a big shift when you genuinely value, like, spiritual death in life over mortal death in life. It's a beautiful place to be. But as we expose all of this, it's important. It's so important so we can simply acknowledge that we are at war. And somehow, some way, light the fire within us to engage, fight back, protect our loved ones, our neighbors, all of God's children, like from here on out, and lead to truth. That is what's going to set us free. Now, right before we dive in, I mean, I do want this solely to be all we need to know. And I believe we got some heavy hitting, very exposing clips and information to go through today. But I just want to take a minute and express gratitude. I want to express gratitude to Rumble and all these free speech platforms. It's interesting. Even posting on X and reposting a lot of this content, I'm continually getting the alerts of like fact checks and trying to manipulate people away from essentially using your own discernment and questioning things. And that happens on YouTube and Rumble and Facebook. I mean, it's just, it's wild. the lengths they're going to affect our wiring, folks, and our brain, our thought processes, just the information as a whole. And they're scrambling. I'm grateful for this opportunity to sit in front of you guys and utilize this First Amendment. Just free speech. How? I mean, that's essentially what this whole episode is like wrapping around. Like, we're really just trying to hone in on the importance of free speech. Oh, we got to be allowed to be wrong and just everything. I'm having breakthrough, even though I'm still picking up pieces. I'm still in the midst of the battle with Lyme. What a breath of fresh air that, like, natural function and normal things are actually starting to feel normal. Golly, my heart goes out to those that are depressed, not unfunctional, whatever, long haulers, or they're continually poisoning themselves, not even realizing they're doing it with the fast foods and the water and all these things. Even relying on pharmaceuticals and too blindly entrusting in white lab coats. Can we all take a second and just say it is healthy to question things? It is healthy to question everything. We must get back to that. And at this point, don't take my word for it. Don't take anyone's word for it. Just do your own research. Your life depends on it, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, on everything. And seeking all of that, that's fulfilling the very essence as to, like, why we're here. Don't let anyone put you in freaking a box and tell you. So, I don't know if you guys like this shirt. It's awful red. I think it's even coming off even more bright red in this with the lighting in here. But I love this Disobey with the 1776. Represent Black Eagle Apparel. Man. And I actually tried calling Alex, the owner, right before this episode. Busy man. Did he get through? But I'm going to find out for you guys. But this is a lighter, like, more breathable material. And I freaking love it. Even the way it fits, even though the other best dang freaking tee out there seems to have a little more length in the midsection and everything. I just freaking love it. So I want to find out if they fully transitioned into that or whether you could choose between the thicker material shirt or this lighter one. I'll find out. But go check out Black Eagle Apparel, folks. And speaking of Black Eagle Apparel, we are going to be doing this hat giveaway by this. I mean, shoot, are we Friday? I apologize. See, I'm still picking up pieces. So a week from today, we'll be giving this away, folks. So stay tuned at random. One of these episodes. Okay. I mean, there's so much gratitude I want to express and thanks that I can make a whole episode based on that alone. Because there was legitimate a point, maybe even had to do with the motivational music I was listening to at the gym today. But I got emotional. I was just so grateful for this breakthrough. The fact, like, I had enjoyment in the moments of life itself. it's absolutely crucial. So I'm going to challenge anyone, if there's anything weighing you down, like, let's just clean up. Let's look into some things that we've gone over, detoxifying, all these other things. And then to my Lyme community, or anyone even struggling with depression, other like heavy things, long haulers, there are some products I'm going to be plugging and connecting. I'm still building up the testimony, my personal testimony and story, like experiment with these products that I feel personally are directly correlating to this breakthrough. And I can't wait to share that information with you guys, and solely in hopes that it will help you have breakthrough as well. So please stay tuned. But let's dive in, shall we? Let's expose this evil corruption and everything they've done for a long time now to instill a structure of control and manipulation. It is wild. It's bonkers. But what a beautiful moment in time we live in to expose this and see this and be like, wow. Wow. Let's tear this down. This is unacceptable. And we could rebuild such a beautiful... Oh, I'm just so excited. Okay, so with that, let's dive into this Stu Peters. And once again, just know I'm going to add all the links into the episode. If you want to watch them in their entirety, I mean, that's amazing. And it's insane, this first one from Stu. Like, it's crazy that he's getting these labels. He's getting truth out there enough to a point, even though he doesn't use his Facebook account for any of his promotional whatever. He solely kept that just, you know, to post family pictures and use it for, like, normal use for family. They ban his account because the impact he's having in the world, nothing related to even the posts he has on that particular profile. What tyranny. It just, it exposes a lot. All right. Some of this may seem repetitive, folk, but we're going to hear it from many different sources. There's a lot of different receipts. Nothing conspiratorial about this. Let's go.
Hi from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Good evening and welcome to the Stu Peters Show. In many totalitarian states or third world dictatorships, the flow of information is directly and admittedly controlled by a small group of people in the upper echelons of the government. This is the news that you get. This is state-controlled media. Everybody knows that. Now, of course, these people that are running the news, they're not elected. They're usually partisan apparatchiks. They're put right in their positions to carry out the agenda of whatever political or military machine is in control of that particular country at that particular time. But here in America, in the free United States of America, we're told from a very early age that one of the greatest, if not the greatest thing about this country is our free press. We're told that our media is not controlled by the government and that we have many different sources that we can go to, many different organizations and reporters, TV and radio programs that we can go to get a wide offering of news and other information that we need to know to be educated and be contributing citizens of society. At least that's how things were supposed to be.
Right.
But instead of a free press, instead of the free flow of information in the sort of open source news ecosystem that would be possible if the Constitutional Republic we're told about actually existed, instead of a robust and independent media that holds the powerful accountable, we just have a dolled up version of a state-run totalitarian media system.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it's even worse than that. Because it's not just our government that has influence and control over American media. No, it's individuals and entities from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the media is not bragging about this. No, they don't like to admit it. But anyone who's done any research at all knows this to be true. The media in this country is owned and operated by just a handful of corporations. Just a handful of powerful cosmopolitan globalists. And they control almost all of the information that we receive. Especially when it comes to news about politics and functions of government. In fact, it's only just six corporations that control roughly 90% of media in the United States. Did you know that? AT&T, CBS, Comcast, Disney, News Corp, and Viacom.
Wow.
And those six corporations are really just five because CBS and Viacom are joined at the hip. And so in turn, through this small number of corporations, all deeply in bed with the federal government and globalist NGOs and a litany of other corporations controlling tech and medicine and social media and so much more, nearly all of the news and entertainment and culture that we consume, be it politics or sports, Movies, music, whatever TV show is the viral binge watch of the month, almost all of it goes through these corporations and their many tentacles.
Wow.
No.
Such a good point. I mean, I literally was talking to a couple of my friends this while back. Like, we kind of all got into that whole Survivor show together, and we just had a moment last night talking about this new season or whatnot, and we're like, I'm so grateful that we understand what is going on here and how that very show has been manipulative and serving a purpose since its conception, since its first episode, its first season, and manipulating and building out. I mean, look how far back it dates. And you could look at the percentages of populace and population and the type of characters they're, the percentages they're having of their contestants. And it's just no secret. It doesn't even come close to like natural selection. They're pedestaling and influencing and victimizing, and it's with the sounds, that just everything, as you look at it all, it just becomes very telling. But it's just one dang show, but it's all been controlled, all of it. The freaking NFL is not a sport. We could pull it up. They're registered as entertainment, folks. Entertainment. It's not a sport. It's not what you think it is. And yes, that has been a huge part of the issue in a sense, because it's kept people from focusing on real issues at hand. And if we annihilated those issues and turn the NFL into an actual sport, minus the corruption, then it could be amazing, wholesome, beautiful thing to engage in, participate, support even. Regardless if you even know anyone personally involved in it, and you just like colors and images, and I mean, and you got to be leery, because at what point are you, is there a level of false idolship involved with that that distracts you from, once again, fulfilling your purpose here in life? Because some people will go so over the top with false idolship. They'll idol a sports team more daily or yearly, monthly, than God himself. And I'm not sitting here judging. It's not my place. I just, my heart goes out, because I've been there where I didn't open the door to God in this way, and all these great blessings and breakthroughs are happening in my life where I'm just so grateful. So my heart goes out to those individuals, because I know, like, they've prayed, they've been preyed on, and effectively are getting wrapped up in intentional corrupt things that is keeping them and that door closed to their detriment. And they're not maximizing their time here and walking in this beautiful light. It's essentially a part of that box. All right, I digress. Let's play a little more of Stu here.
Well, they could easily be broken up under antitrust laws. Many people called for President Trump to do just that. But they're one with Washington, so that'll likely never happen. And money aside, both sides have each other compromised. So while nearly every major media outlet that's on the air will claim to be a collective of independent-minded journalists working to bring meaningful stories to people, in reality, they're almost always doing the bidding of a much larger sadistic group of parasites. But still, they'll look you right in your face And they'll tell you that they're bringing you fair and balanced news.
Right.
And many of their sleepwalking viewers will believe them.
Mm.
But there is, however, one media organization that everyone seems to agree is run by the government and living off the people, and that's NPR. Though they'll tell you they're as legitimate news outlet as anyone else, they even quit X over being labeled state-funded media, which they are. NPR likes to portray itself, and it's often seen as this benign, policy-oriented news source. It's bland, it's drab, it's about as boring as a radio network or a news website as you could possibly find. But recently, we've learned that NPR, the state-funded media apparatus of our federal government under CEO Catherine Maher, is actively censoring and sacking employees who object to what one now former NPR objector named Uri Berliner called a rampant left-wing bias.
Folks, it's hard to even stop because I mean, this particular episode's 56 minutes, but it's amazing. So you want to watch it in its entirety, click in the link below. But let's move on because there's more to uncover. All right, this dives in. This shows it that the Rothschilds own the media. It's a bit more lengthy, but I believe it's worth playing this one in its entirety. Bring the meaning into go. This is why free speech is so important.
Advertising world of picture television brings us the news of the world through two central news agencies called Reuters and the Associated Press. The Rothschilds bought Reuters in the 1800s, which later bought the Associated Press and made the Rothschild family owners of the world's largest central news services. To the present day, the world depends on these Rothschild-owned central news services as their main source of news and information. In his book called Who Owns the TV Networks, author Eustace Mullins claims that the major TV networks, radio stations, newspapers, and publishing empires are controlled by the Rothschild, Rockefeller, and J.P. Morgan money cartels through their corporate conglomerates. The bankster-owned media conglomerates include weapons manufacturers General Electric and Westinghouse, which profit from promoting wars. Control over the internet, publishing, recording, and top cable companies can be traced back to the same big five media empires: General Electric, Time Warner, Viacom, Disney, and News Corp. These media monopolies are owned directly or indirectly by the Rothschild, J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, and Oppenheimer Brotherhood. Yes, there are now more stations and more media voices, but they're all coming from the same ventriloquist. Every TV show needs corporate sponsors, and corporate sponsors sponsor pro-business, pro-government programming, and journalists who support the agenda of the big five media owners. While two-thirds of the world goes hungry, these banksters offer gazillion-dollar sponsorships to sports athletes to play with their balls. Why? Because they keep the masses distracted from the important issues.
Boom. Even the local news is scripted.
And welcome back to the show. I scream, you scream, you know the rest.
I scream, you scream, you know the rest.
I scream, you scream, you know the rest. I scream, you scream, you know the rest. I scream, you scream, you know the rest. I scream, you scream, well, you know the rest.
I scream, you scream, well, you know the rest. I scream, you scream, well, you know the rest.
I scream.
Who in their right mind would listen to these buffoons? Who? These are different agencies, supposedly. I mean, you got the, oh, we got this free source, right? Like Stu was just talking about and exposing. CNN's supposed to be this left and Fox is supposed to be the right, so we have options. But the talking heads are all saying the same things, given the same script. It's controlled. Who in their right mind would tune into these?
You scream, you know the rest. I scream, you scream, we all know the rest. I scream, you scream, you know the rest.
If you know anyone that is, send them this episode. Send them this episode. This is, ugh. And with love, we want to help people break out truth out of their box and see truth so they are set free. Otherwise, we're only going to know what they want us to know. They could direct and manipulate us into volunteering our bodies to experimental things. Manipulating us into politically leaning one way or another. Creating division amongst the people. I mean, heck, even manipulating us, to eat and just not take care of ourselves. It's dangerous.
I scream, you scream, you know the rest.
Mike Myers says, yeah, baby. Mike Myers says, yeah, baby.
Mike Myers says, yeah, baby.
Mike Myers says, yeah, baby. Mike Myers says, yeah, baby.
Mike Myers says, yeah, baby.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
Especially on a birthday.
First,
they also keep the public in a state of perpetual. It's cut off. I can't even see it. Perpetual something not good. I'm sure.
Ear flooding here in the Northeast as more rain continues to fall today. NBC's Michelle Kaczynski, I guess she's in Kanifu, is in Wayne, New Jersey this morning. Hey, Michelle, good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, obviously we're getting a nice break from the rain, but not the flooding. This is essentially now a part of the Passaic River in the neighborhood. It rushed in yesterday.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's hilarious.
I just got a picture of the conditions that Kayla Brown has been living in for the past 2 months. Essentially, she was by the deck inside of what would look like a steel cage, roughly 4x4x6, and that steel cage was then inside of a larger container. Now, a massive search is underway in this field behind me because the victim herself told police that she believes as many as four bodies may be buried here. George.
Let's go.
An ABC News producer is being investigated by the network after reported evidence that a live camera shot on Good Morning America was doctored by falsely stringing police tape in the background. The shot featured reporter Lindsay Davis in Woodruff, South Carolina, where a woman was allegedly held captive in a storage container by a registered sex offender. Behind Davis, yellow police tape can be seen with the words, "Sheriff's line, do not cross." A wider photograph of the scene shows that police tape was actually just attached to some ABC camera equipment to enhance the scene.
Dateline NBC, a primetime news program, airs a story in 1992 entitled "Waiting to Explode." The story includes footage demonstrating that a line of trucks produced by General Motors readily explode on impact.
To see for ourselves what might happen in a side impact crash, Dateline NBC hired the Institute for Safety Analysis to conduct crash demonstrations. Unlike GM tests, the fuel tanks were filled with real gasoline. Look what happened. At impact, a small hole was punctured in the tank. According to our experts, the pressure of the collision and the crushing of the gas tank forced gasoline to spew from the gas cap. The fuel then erupted into flames when ignited by the impacting car's headlight.
After the program airs, one of the firemen at the taping of the crash contacts GM. The conversation inspires a full-scale investigation. 3 months later, NBC is forced to reveal their role in fabricating the news.
NBC's contractor did put incendiary devices under the trucks to ensure that there would be a fire if gasoline were released from the truck's gas tank.
We said the crash, quote, forced gasoline to spew from the fuel cap.
What a circus.
GM says since the gas cap was the wrong cap for the GM filler tube, and because the gas tank was overfilled, the cap came off when the impact occurred.
We agree with GM that we should have told our viewers about these devices.
The Dateline reporter, however, said, quote, at impact,
we have been living in the Matrix, I tell
you. GM had now x-rayed that tank and found no hole.
We acknowledge the placing of the incendiary devices under the truck was a bad idea from start to finish.
That's our new policy, and we'll be right back.
Look at the pyramid. In the first couple layers, the really eager, hard-working young journalists are out there trying to get the stories, trying to make a name so they can move up that pyramid. Well, the further they move up the pyramid, the more they realize that, you know, the outlets really aren't interested in major news that rocks the boat.
The boat Charles refers to belongs to those at the top of the pyramid, where the interests of the media outlets are quietly defined. Is 1917, and Representative Oscar Calloway enters a disturbing statement into the U.S. Congressional Record. The statement reveals why J.P. Morgan interests hired 12 high-ranking news managers. The 12 were asked to determine the most influential newspapers in America. They were to figure out how many news organizations it would take to control generally the policy of the daily press of the United States. The 12 found it was only necessary to purchase the control of 25 of the greatest papers. An agreement was reached. The policy of the papers was bought, and an editor was placed at each paper to ensure that all published information was in keeping with the new policy.
Wow.
Soon, that policy would be defined by a front group formed by J.P. Morgan and his colleagues. In fact, Morgan's personal attorney was founding president of the organization, the Council on Foreign Relations.
We haven't even been free in our own bodies and minds. We've been manipulated.
Today, the CFR maintains that its goal is to increase America's understanding of the world. However, the actual objective of this highly exclusive club is revealed by the rare admissions of the insiders themselves. In the early 60s, a Georgetown University professor collects information for a book favorable to the network of powerful men who founded the CFR. For 2 years, Professor Carol Quigley is allowed to examine the confidential papers and secret records of this network.
Just you Quigley wait, reveals folks. That these men aim heavy, to create a world system of
financial
thing.
Control in private hands, able to it's dominate crazy. The political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. In short, they seek total and quiet control of the entire world. And the CFR is their most visible conduit for carrying out that agenda. CFR members include America's wealthiest tycoons, as well as the highly placed elite in government, academic institutions, tax-exempt foundations, and the establishment media. Ruling Class Journalists, written by Richard Harwood, describes the CFR membership as the ruling establishment in the United States. The Washington Post article boasted that news reporters who are CFR members do not merely analyze and interpret foreign policy for the United States. They help make it. Who are these policymakers? Many of their faces are familiar. NBC's Tom Brokaw, CBS's Dan Rather, ABC's Barbara Walters, Jim Lehrer of PBS, William F. Buckley of National Review, media mogul Rupert Murdoch, owner of the giant multifaceted news corporation. These media heavyweights, and many others like them, are members of the CFR. Powerful corporations are also invited to become members. At the close of the 20th century,
tear it all
CFR
down, y'all.
Presided over far-reaching consolidations of media control. In 1995, CFR members Michael Eisner of Disney and ABC's Thomas Murphy merged their media empires. Soon after the merger, the Disney ABC Empire becomes a CFR corporate member. In the year 2000, the world's largest internet service provider, America Online, joins forces with Time Warner, one of the world's largest news organizations. The CEOs favoring the move are CNN's Thomas Johnson and Time Warner's Gerald Levin, both CFR members. Once again, another media giant is created under the shadow of CFR influence. Today, an elite handful of individuals define the agendas that are supported by the empire of establishment news.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
Wow, right? All right, let's continue on. Let's hear from Tucker. Now, this is an hour long. We'll just play a couple minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes. But it is labeled. Andrew Tate states, "This is the most important video you will ever watch." I mean, it is pretty darn good.
The defining fact of the United States is freedom of speech. To the extent this country is actually exceptional, it's because we have the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights. We have freedom of conscience. We can say what we really think. There's no hate speech exception to that. Be quiet, because we're citizens, not slaves. Mm. But that right, that foundational right that makes this country what it is, that right from which all other rights flow, is going away at high speed. In the face of censorship. Now, modern censorship bears no resemblance to previous censorship regimes in previous countries and previous eras. Our censorship is affected on the basis of fights against disinformation and malinformation. And the key thing to know about these is they're everywhere. And of course, they have no reference at all to whether what you're saying is true or not. In other words, you can say something that is factually accurate and consistent with your own conscience. And in previous versions of America, you had an absolute right to say those things. But because someone doesn't like them, or because they're inconvenient to whatever plan the people in power have, they can be denounced as disinformation, and you can be stripped of your right to express them, either in person or online. In fact, expressing these things can become a criminal act, and is. And it's important to know, by the way, that this is not just the private sector doing this. These efforts are being directed by the U.S. government, which you pay for and at least theoretically own. It's your government. But they're stripping your rights at very high speed. Most people understand this intuitively. But they don't know how it happens. How does censorship happen? What are the mechanics of it? Mike Benz is, we can say with some confidence, the expert in the world on how this happens. Mike Benz had the cyber portfolio at the State Department. He's now executive director of Foundation for Freedom Online. And we're going to have a conversation.
That might be one you want to listen to in its entirety. Or you get it. And we can assemble and get organized and get loud and support the free speech platforms and push the envelope on the other ones. And collectively, we do that enough. They have no choice but to listen. It's just how it goes. Another gentleman exposing U.S., U.K. military and intelligence planning behind sweeping. It's just more spies and censorship. It's crazy.
500 pages of confidential Brazilian court documents relating to censorship demands on X, formerly Twitter. The committee had obtained them from X through its subpoena powers.
This man brings a lot of the receipts, proof of the collusion, the fascist, like, behind infringing on our most basic rights.
The documents show a single Superior Electoral Court Justice, Alexandre de Moraes, demanding permanent bans on over 150 elected officials and journalists.
It's wild. It's very powerful. That one's 6 minutes. We'll add that one. But I love this lady. This is what we need. This is what we all need to capture. You could choose your own energy or your own words, obviously. But I just love it. Let's play this one.
We just need to find a way to wake the people up.
Yes.
Because the point is simply this. It comes down to a choice.
Yes.
It's either freedom, democracy, and the rule of law, or enslavement. War. There is no such thing in between. There is no such thing as a little freedom, a little democracy, a little rule of law, just as there is no such thing as a little enslavement.
Right.
So that's the choice. It comes down to it's either the globalitarian misanthropists or the people. It comes down to it's either us or them.
I choose
and
us.
That's, I think, what this really is all about. Now, when my colleagues and I were elected to this parliament, there was no question about it. We were on the side of the people because the people actually pay us to act in their best interest. That's our job. And once again, I will say to every single elected representative,
we need to put more people in like that. That gets it. That will fight on behalf of the body.
Representative around the world, to every single member in every elected government around the world. If you do not unequivocally stand with the people and serve in their best interest, act in their best interest, you have no place in any parliament. Or in any government.
Up.
You belong behind bars.
Amen.
You may even rot in hell for all I care at this point. Because that's exactly what you deserve. If you sell out the people.
She's spot on.
Now I would like to make a promise to the people. And I'm pretty sure I can speak on behalf of my colleagues. We will continue to stand with you, the people. We will continue to fight for freedom, democracy, and the rule of law. We will not shut up, and we will not stop going after those despicable globalitarian misanthropists.
Freaking globalists.
But we would also like to have you make a promise to us. You may have heard, it's all coming back. The first countries are already starting about talking mask mandates in Israel. They're already imposing it. I've heard of a few universities in the United States. They're already bringing it all back. And I would really like for you, the people, to not go alone.
Guys, think of all the tyrannical overreach. This applies here. Don't go along with the censorship. Don't go along with the DEI at your jobs. Canadians, don't go along with the carbon tax hoax. It's all hoax. You could apply it to the pandemic. Don't go along with that as well. But we cannot accept tyrannical rule over us. That's when we, in fact, hand over the power to them. no.
Simply say no. They want you to wear a mask? Say no. They want you to put in another mRNA shot? Say no. They want to impose a curfew on you? Say no. That's really all you have to do. And might not be, or it might sound a little hard, but it's actually not that hard. Because once you've made it clear to them that you will no longer go along, once you've let them know, they cannot scare you anymore. Because as long as you're afraid of what they might do, if you don't comply, they have power over you.
Right.
Take the power away from them. Yes. Simply say no. Once you do that, they don't have power over you anymore.
Oh, this is powerful.
You will feel so free. Simply say no. And considering what we've heard today, and considering what we've seen in the last 3 years, considering what we know they want to implement, heck, you might even be well within your right to tell them to screw themselves and go to hell. That's where they belong. What will you get out of that? I can tell you. Once you've done that, once you've told them to just go to hell, they no longer have power over you, you will have an incredible feeling. Kind of like a sensation of freedom will swap through your body. I promise. Wow. You will feel so relieved. And this is the state of mind that I would ask all of you to get to. Simply don't let them grind you down anymore. You are worth it. You are deserving of just standing up for yourselves and tell them all to go to hell. Thank you very much.
Amazing woman. Very well said. Let's get more elected officials in with this, the fortitude and the spine to take a stance like that. That's what we so desperately need. Okay, this one, golly, this one's important too.
The question of how and why the United Nations is the crux of the great conspiracy to destroy the sovereignty of the United States and the enslavement of the American people within a UN one world dictatorship is a complete and unknown mystery to the vast majority of the American people.
Why is that? Unknown mystery to the vast majority of the American people. Let's rip the lid off of it, folks. Expose them.
The reason for this unawareness of the frightening danger to our country and to the entire free world is simple. The masterminds behind this great conspiracy have absolute control of all of our mass communications media, especially television, the radio, the press, and Hollywood.
Yes.
We all know that our State Department, the Pentagon, and the White House have brazenly proclaimed that they have the right and the power to manage the news, to tell us not the truth, but what they want us to believe. They have seized that power on orders from their masters of the great conspiracy. And the objective is to brainwash the people into accepting the phony peace bait to transform the United States into an enslaved unit of the United Nations one world government. Wow. Is that our so-called leaders in Washington, whom we elected to safeguard our nation and our Constitution, are the betrayers, and that behind them are a comparatively small group of men whose sole objective is to enslave the whole world of humanity in their satanic plot of one world government. Now, as a matter of further intelligence, a term used by the FBI, let me clarify the meaning of the expression, he is a liberal. The enemy, meaning the one world conspirators, have seized upon that word liberal as a cover-up for their activities. It sounds so innocent and so humanitarian to be liberal.
Right.
Well, make sure that the person who calls himself a liberal or is described as a liberal is not in truth a red. Now then, this satanic plot was launched back in the 1760s when it first came into existence under the name of the Illuminati. This Illuminati was organized by one Adam Weishaupt, born a Jew, who was converted to Catholicism and became a Catholic priest. And then, at the behest of the then newly organized House of Rothschild, defected and organized the Illuminati. Naturally, the Rothschilds financed that operation. And every war since then, beginning with the French Revolution, has been promoted by the Illuminati, operating under various names and guises. In the United States, they set up what they called the Council on Foreign Relations, commonly referred to as the CFR. And this CFR is actually the Illuminati in the United States, and its hierarchy, the masterminds in control of the CFR, to a very great extent, are the descendants of the original Illuminati conspirators. But to conceal that fact, most of them changed their original family names to American-sounding names. For example, the true name of the Dillons.
Just like that clip we had on the other day, going through a lot of celebratory, people of high ranking. It's mind-blowing. From celebrities, stars, music, politicians. It's easily done, like the research, to connect these dots and validate everything this is exposing. Oh my gosh, this is good.
Clarence and Douglas Dillon, once Secretary of the U.S. Treasury Department, is Lepowski. There's a similar establishment of the Illuminati in England, operating under the name of the British Institute of International Affairs. There are similar secret Illuminati organizations in France, Germany, and other nations, operating under different names. But at all times, the operations of these organizations were and are masterminded and controlled by the internationalist bankers, who in turn were and are controlled by the Rothschilds. Now, just why did the conspirators choose the word Illuminati for their satanic organization? Weishaupt himself said that the word is derived from Lucifer and means holders of the light, using the lie that his objective was to bring about a one-world government to enable those with mental ability to govern the world and prevent all wars in the future. In short, using the word peace on earth as his bait, perhaps the most vital directive in Weishaupt's plan was to obtain absolute control of the press so that all news and information could be slanted, so that the masses could be convinced that a one-world government is the only solution to our many and varied problems.
Wow.
Now do you know who owns and controls our mass communications media? I'll tell you, practically all the movie lots in Hollywood is owned by the Lehmans, Kuhn Loeb and Company, Goldman Sachs, and other internationalist bankers. All the national radio and TV channels in the nation are owned and controlled by those same internationalist bankers. In 1834, the Italian revolutionary leader Giuseppe Mazzini was selected by the Illuminati to direct their revolutionary program throughout the world. Mazzini had enticed an American general named Albert Pike into the Illuminati. Pike was fascinated by the idea of a one-world government, and ultimately he became the head of this Luciferian conspiracy. Between 1859 and 1871, he, Pike, worked out a military blueprint for three world wars and various revolutions throughout the world, which he considered would forward the conspiracy to its final stage in the 20th century. Long before Marconi invented radio, the scientists in the Illuminati had found the means for Pike and the heads of his councils to communicate secretly. It was the discovery of that secret that enabled intelligence officers to understand how apparently unrelated incidents, one such as the assassination of an Austrian prince at Sarajevo, took place simultaneously throughout the world, which developed into a war or a revolution. Pike's plan was as simple as it has proved effective. It called for communism, Nazism, political Zionism, and other international movements be organized and used to foment three global world wars and at least two major revolutions. World War III is to be fomented by using the so-called controversies the agents of the Illuminati, operating under whatever new name, are now stirring up between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Muslim world. That war is to be directed in such a manner that all of Islam and political Zionism, Israel, will destroy each other, while at the same time, the remaining nations, once more divided on this issue, will be forced to fight themselves into a state of complete exhaustion, physically, mentally, spiritually, and economically.
You could see this playing out.
How can any thinking person doubt that the intrigue now going on in the near, middle, and far east is designed to accomplish that satanic objective? Mm-hmm. Pike himself foretold all this in a statement he made to Mazzini on August 15, 1871.
Wow.
Pike stated that after World War III is ended, those who will inspire to undisputed world domination will provoke the greatest social cataclysm the world has ever known. Quoting his own words, taken from the letter he wrote to Mazzini, and which letter is now catalogued in the British Museum in London, England, he said, We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a great social cataclysm which, in all its horror, will show clearly to all nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery and of most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere, the people forced to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitudes, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will be from that moment on without direction and leadership, and anxious for an ideal but without knowledge where to send its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out into public view, a manifestation which will result from a general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. Anyway, the ending of the Civil War destroyed, temporarily, all chances of the House of Rothschild to get a clutch on our money system, such as they had acquired in Britain and other nations in Europe. I say temporarily because the Rothschilds and the masterminds of the conspiracy never quit. So they had to start from scratch, but they lost no time in getting started. Shortly after the Civil War, a young immigrant who called himself Jacob H. Schiff arrived in New York. Jacob was a young man with a mission for the House of Rothschild. Jacob was the son of a rabbi, born in one of Rothschild's houses in Frankfurt, Germany. After a comparatively brief training period in the Rothschild's London bank, Jacob left for America with instructions to buy into a banking house, which was to be the springboard to acquire control of the money system of the United States.
They were actually successful.
Jacob came here to carry out four specific assignments. Number one, and most important, was to acquire control of America's money system. Number two, find desirable men who, for a price, would be willing to serve as stooges for the great conspiracy and promote them into high places in our federal government, our Congress, in the U.S. Supreme Court, and all federal agencies. Number three, create minority group strife throughout the nations, particularly between whites and blacks. Number four, create a movement to destroy religion in the United States, but Christianity to be the chief target. In the final phases of the conspiracy, the one world government will consist of the king dictator, head of the United Nations, the CFR, and a few billionaires, economists, and scientists who have proved their devotion to the great conspiracy. All others are to be integrated into a vast conglomeration of mongrelized humanity, actually slaves.
Wow. To the other lady's point, there's no partial anything. What do we choose? Enslavement or freedom? We could abolish all of this. We could rule out all the corruption. We could rule the day as a people, united, together, under God. One nation under God. Boom. Do we need to go further? We can, and we will, and we must. Let's hit it from all different angles. Let's expose some of the personal things that they've done and tactics to diminish, demoralize, but even diminish our ability and our function. Things are being intentionally done, ramping up the pressures on us so like we collapse under the pressure. It's time we rise to the occasion and level up everyone around us. We're here to champion this narrative and bring, I don't know, do our part and hopefully lift you up, create a movement, momentum, a community. Let's go. Let's pull the wool from our eyes, folks, that they've constructed. Man, Lenny boy, he's on point. Just connect another couple things real quick. Because now you could see. It brings more light. Takes no rocket scientists. This is why they don't want us to do research. This is why they want to control the information. Uh-oh. Is it not going to play?
ESG is environmental, social, and governance. DEI is diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's like virtue signaling. What they do is they'll push a fake narrative like climate change or being over-inclusive of certain minority groups, when ultimately the real outcome of this will be more divisiveness amongst the people, more groups created, more censorship, the disappearance of meritocracy, more confusion amongst our kids, and more top-down control from the ruling class, because humans are such bad people, so we have to control them. It's the media that made everybody think that we're all racist. They created this division, especially since 2020. They want us so busy fighting amongst ourselves so that we look the other way while they're taking over the planet. They create the problem. They get the anticipated reaction from the public, and they bring in the solution that always means more power for them and less for the rest of us.
It is so clear, is it not?
How many clues do you need to confirm that this guy, who's not a doctor, wants to depopulate the planet? First, from his own mouth.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare,
genocide,
reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Now, look at his latest product. It's called Appeal. It's like a wax coating that goes on fruits and vegetables for them to last longer. First, you can't wash it off. And according to their own documentation, you can find traces of arsenic, lead, and mercury on their products. What? So the same guy who says he wants to depopulate is deeply invested in abortions, deeply invested in vaccines, and he's now putting arsenic in the food supply. He doesn't believe in planting trees.
I don't plant trees.
He wants your food to be grown in a lab with God knows what,
right.
And he wants to block out the sun. I mean, who is this guy?
I mean, are we the science people or are we the idiots? Which one do we want to be?
How are these individuals alive? Or at least not a civil tribunal, military tribunal, indicted and tried. Blows my mind. Openly talking about genocide, actively playing a role in that act, actively engaged in all these nefarious projects, from putting this bioweapon into foods, creating meats and foods, blocking the sun, aka geoengineering and chemtrails, and poisoning us under the guise of fighting a fake hoax. Oh, this one just breaks my heart. A national disgrace. Photos leaked of horrific Jan 6 prisoner abused, tortured, 5 months in isolation in a closet. Room with a light on, 24/7, a bucket for a toilet. Unbelievable. The beginning of consecration camps. Not even, and this happened to journalists and all sorts of people, folks. It's wild that even, like, the left, they think they're protected because they don't care about you. Once they get rid of the opposition, it's full tyrannical control. And at that point, it doesn't even matter whether you're playing along or not. They could just choose to, whether you live or die, any of it. We're allowing this more on, we got to protect ourselves, like our health, because, okay, not seeing the direct, okay, well, that this is what's so wild. Like with Lyme disease, people tend to not care or educate themselves on it, even though it poses them personally as a grave threat, now and futuristically speaking. But why is it? This is my question. Why is it we tend not to care till we ourselves are afflicted? I bless my family's heart. They've been there and done what they can to support, but to this day, they don't get it. And I feel some of them are actually suffering from this bioweapon as well. But look at the proof that is being found, not just within the bodies of these individuals, but no doubt what's even attributing to the epidemic of new births having all sorts of issues.
Only 11, and it is true. There's only 11 chemicals that are banned from our cosmetics or our body lotions or whatever we're putting on our skin. The thing that really bothers me is that our babies are not being born pure. I found this study to show you. This is by the Environmental Working Group, and what they found was they took 10 babies and tested their cord blood. They found 287 chemicals in their cord.
287 chemicals out of 10 babies that are in the cord blood. Look at how effective they've been deteriorating our health, deteriorating our resilience, our ability to even care and connect the dots as they control from Hollywood and Disney and NFL and sports and then the education and 9 to 5 and your degree, aka more indoctrination and Uncle Sam. I mean, it's just, we have not been free.
Blood of these 10 babies. Stain and oil repellents used in fast food packaging, clothing and textiles, including Teflon, in the baby's cord blood. They found ingredients such as waste from burning coal, gasoline, and garbage, pesticides, consumer product ingredients in the cord blood. They know that 180 cause cancer in humans or animals, 217 are toxic to the brain and nervous system, and 208 cause birth defects or abnormal development in animal tests. So this is pretty outstanding. There's a link if you guys want to look it up. The other crazy part is the parent hadn't been exposed to any out-of-range chemicals before. They weren't working in factories or exposed to high levels of toxins. They're just regular people. So our babies are born highly toxic, and it's just awful to me. It breaks my heart. So why is this happening? Because the FDA sold out is basically what it comes down to. 99% of food chemicals introduced since 2000 were green-lighted.
The FDA, so health organizations, the food companies, all of it. And just like news media, like you connect the dots, you look at the money, you look at the investors, It all comes back to the same infrastructure, the same individuals.
Used by food and chemical companies rather than properly reviewed by the Food and Drug Administration. So here's the big kicker. These substances end up in what we eat thanks to a legal loophole that allows food to be classified as generally recognized as safe. These companies are basically just making the laws for themselves. How is this possible? Well, you got lobbyists. It's all money. It all goes back to money. Who can get paid off?
Right. Very well said. And it's wild. Like, why even hone in on, like, a certain thing? But what he states, and it's applied to so many different things that it helps us. I mean, it hones in small enough that we can grasp, but we could apply it to the big picture and it makes sense. Let's listen to this man.
Did you know milk produced in the United States is banned in Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and all of the EU? And it's banned because of a growth hormone they give to the cows to make them produce more milk. It's called RBGH, and all of these countries have banned it because of how damaging it can be to our health. Europe banned this hormone over 20 years ago, but yet the regulatory authorities in the United States continue to approve it for use every year.
Did you know that? We're intentionally being targeted. There's a greater plan. Boils my blood because what an amazing opportunity we have right now to seize this moment, to spread this very message. Get it out there to all your loved ones. We're not even like taking any crazy political stances on this episode. It's just, it's healthy to question things, folks. The intention behind all of this is to up your resilience, up your health, up your abilities. Breathe more quality of life, health into your life that leads to quality of life. So you're just maximizing your time here in all the levels, in all aspects. Enjoyment, peace, sleep, energy, fit, your looks. I mean, it impacts everything, folks. Oh boy. I just said, let's end on something, shall we? Let's end on with this last clip. And then I totally forgot, and maybe by announcing, knowing me, I may forget again. I just need to do it. I forgot to add yesterday's scripture to the end of the episode. I talked about it at one point during the episode. Forgive me, folks. I'm human. But I'll add today's and yesterday's. But I love this gentleman.
That lets boys unfairly... No longer...
He, yeah, this sums it up. Truer words were never spoken. Why did I struggle with that?
After I came to America, I was exposed to the narrative that the Democrat Party was the party of the little guy and the only party with genuine care and compassion for the average American. Fortunately, because I grew up under a dictatorship, I could not be easily fooled by socioeconomic shackles masquerading as compassionate public
policy. Good for you, brother.
The truth is, there is no compassion like Democrat compassion. It is the kind of compassion that lets people shoot illicit drugs into their bodies with the government's assistance. It is a kind of compassion that sees assisted suicide as a moral virtue.
Wow.
Democrat compassion is a kind of compassion that lets you rob the innocent and hardworking businesses in your neighborhood and walk out with impunity with no fear of prosecution. Democrat compassion is a kind of compassion that tells vulnerable women it is their right to abort and sacrifice their unborn children on the perverted altar of female empowerment and convenience.
Wow.
Democrat compassion is the kind of compassion that tells children they were born in the wrong body and encourages and subsidizes their mutilation.
Wow.
Democrat compassion is the kind of compassion that lets boys unfairly compete against girls, take their records, their opportunities, and their scholarships, and invade their private spaces, turning back decades of hard-fought gains and progress. Democrat compassion is a kind of compassion that allows homeless people to defecate on sidewalks and sleep in tents in public parks while watching them as they abuse drugs and suffer through mental illness. Democrat compassion is a kind of compassion that tells independent contractors that they don't have a right to choose how and when they work in the name of protecting them from big bad corporations. It is the kind of compassion that raises the minimum wage by government fiat and takes the earnings of fast food workers from $15 an hour to zero in a single day. Democrat compassion is a kind of compassion that restricts the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens, leaving them vulnerable to the criminals their compassion let out of prison with their no-bail policies. Wow. Democrat compassion is the kind that secures the borders of Ukraine and leaves the American border wide open, allowing unvetted illegal immigrants to wreak havoc on small towns and big cities alike, and allowing drug cartels to kill 100,000 Americans each year with the poison of fentanyl.
Right.
Democrat compassion is a kind of compassion that forces millions of Americans to close their businesses and to take experimental vaccines under the threat of losing their jobs and their livelihood. It is the kind of compassion that praises Antifa as freedom fighters and raids the homes of pastors and churchgoers at dawn because they protested at the doors of abortion clinics. Democrat compassion is a kind that weaponizes the justice system against political opponents while claiming to be defending democracy.
Truth.
Democrat compassion is the kind of compassion that colludes with social media companies to censor Americans and limit their constitutional freedoms. Democrat compassion is the kind that tells minorities They cannot succeed without government handouts and without having the standards lowered for them. It is a kind of compassion that tells black people they're too dumb to obtain IDs to vote. But if they manage to do that, they're not black if they don't vote Democrat.
Wow.
I think America has had it with Democrat compassion.
Yes.
It has destroyed one's beautiful cities, left poverty and economic devastation in its wake everywhere it's been applied, and created a generation of voters so bereft of critical thinking skills that they so easily fall prey to a profound level of cunning and cynicism that enables them to vote blue no matter who, against their own interests. As an immigrant and a new American voter, I promise you this. I would much rather endure the uncertainty and the often difficult realities of life under the pragmatic principles of conservatism than acquiesce one inch to the depravity of morally bankrupt policies cloaked in the robes of compassion but designed to keep Americans mentally subjugated, economically shackled, and emotionally weak. This November, we have to defeat Democrat compassion at the polls.
Yes.
Because our beloved country cannot endure four more years of this nightmare.
Yes, tell them.
If I were to give the Democrat Party a slogan, it will be this. Democrats, misguided compassion, real destruction.
Wow. Folks, please, please send this far and wide. Everyone you know. I mean, it's hilarious. I just said, okay, we won't dive into it, but that was too powerful not to add into all of this. I mean, the whole, everything's a construct. The left, right, weaponized effectively now to divide us. That's why no one's riding in on a white horse. It takes all of us to see past the lies. Get non-political figures in there. Ones that haven't sold out to this new world order. And at the point they aren't listening to us, you're done. Goodbye. Next. We don't have to sit here and wait out another freaking 4 years, folks. But we got to get this out. We must fight the censorship. We must expose the infrastructure that has been erected that goes against not just our freedoms, but the enjoyment of life. They have fought really hard for that infrastructure to keep us in the dark. I want to welcome everyone into the light and truth that will break us out of these constructed boxes they've effectively put us in. All this defective wiring, it is clear we are at war. It's clear. How is it not? Let's breathe some light into this episode. Verse of the day.
My name is Joel with Verses, a nonprofit committed to the memorization and meditation on scripture through song. The verse of the day is 1 Thessalonians 5:16, which says this, "Rejoice always." Two simple, short words, and yet so hard to live out in real life. First, this call to rejoice, to enter into joy repeatedly, again and again. But secondly, this other word, always, to rejoice always. Typically in our society, we associate rejoicing is when everything is going our way, when nothing is going wrong. And yet that's not what Paul says here. He says, rejoice always in season where things are going your way, but also when things aren't going your way.
Every day.
So how are we to do that? Well, we learn in the Bible that it's not our external circumstances that are our grounding place, that are our foundation, but rather it's our joy in God himself, that he is our true treasure, our true source of joy. And so we fight to see him as our treasure. It's helpful for me to remember that joy is a fruit of the Spirit, that this isn't something that I can fabricate or fake on my own, but rather it's a joy that I enter into, that I abide in God, and that he in turn grows his joy in me. So wherever you are, whatever season you're in, I want to encourage you to fight today to rejoice always.
I'm joyful to the floodgates being open. acknowledging what's happening and the role I've been given to at least try to help. And it's bringing so much joy. It's ridiculous. Okay, yesterday's. Oh, this is great.
Hi, my name's Nicky Gumbel. I've been involved at HGV Church in London and also pioneering the Alpha Course. Acts 20:35 says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" I went to watch an episode of the reality TV show The Secret Millionaire. Kevin Green, a covert multimillionaire, searched for people and causes that would benefit from his financial support. He gave about $100,000 to a range of people working with the homeless, teenage addicts, and disabled children. The response of all these people was deeply moving. They were so grateful. And the causes they worked for benefited greatly. They were blessed and enabled to bring greater blessing to others. However, the most interesting aspect of the program was the change in Kevin Green. He had experienced in a new way the joy of blessing others. His life was changed as a result. The words of Jesus are true. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Generosity is not just a nice character trait that people have. It is right at the heart of what our faith is all about. Your call to be generous stems from God's generosity to you. God has poured out his generosity to you in Jesus. And you are called to respond in faith and generosity to others. The key to the fullness of the blessing is generosity. Archie Coates, who's now the vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton, speaks of the church as a blessing machine. That is exactly what we as Christians are called to be, as a church and as individuals. You really can be a blessing machine.
I love that. Let's all become an effective blessing machine. Bless this platform. Help us grow on this platform to expand the outreach of blessing and helping connect the dots. I mean, golly, it literally is a help us help you situation here. As this platform grows, we're going to be blessed with greater, more guests. More people wanting to come forward with their stories, connecting the dots on truths, health, breakthroughs, mental, spiritual, everything. Let's achieve this gracious state together, folks. I'm so committed more than ever. And it's like this fire inside me is growing more and more each and every day. And I hope you can feel and see the blessing that's happening here and the breakthroughs I'm even having with life being breathed back like into me. It feels so good. I can't even articulate it effectively yet. Maybe with time. Give me some time. Guys, I love you. I genuinely mean that, and not in a weird way. I want the best for you. Thank you so much for your support. Forget donations. All I ask for right now is help us spread this message to benefit all of our brothers and sisters. We need to seize this moment in time. Let's go. Let's do it. Bless you. Till next time, take care.